Hey guys, this is Scott Ardella, author of The Edge of Strength, and you're listening to episode number 182 of the Ardella Training Podcast. Thanks for joining me this week. And in this week's episode, I'm going to take listener questions. These are some really great questions from Matt McPhee, and I'm going to answer his questions. I think you're definitely going to get value from that. And then I have a really big announcement to share with you at the end of the show that you will definitely want to stick around to hear. So with that, let's jump into episode number 182 this week, and I hope you enjoy the show. All right, guys, what's up? Welcome to episode number 182. I've got a couple of quick things here that I wanted to tell you about, and then I'm going to answer some great listener questions, and then I'm going to share a very big announcement at the end of this show that you do not want to miss. So let's get right into things here. So the first couple of things are I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be speaking at a couple of upcoming events. One is the first week in August, the first weekend in August, I should say, up in the Boston area. And that is called the Elite Man Conference. You can go to elitemanconference.com. And if you use the code ARDELLA50, that is RDELLA50, you can save 50% on tickets. And this is not a fitness event, but really a self-improvement or self-development event, talking about a lot of different things, business, health, and really being your best. And a lot of different speakers at this event. Should be a blast. Really looking forward to it. But you can go to elitemanconference.com, check out all the details there. And if you decide that you'd like to attend, use the code ARDELLA50 to save 50% on your ticket. So I'm really looking forward to that and joining a great lineup of speakers up there in Boston. I'll have a link for this in the show notes for this episode, by the way. The other thing I wanted to let you know about is I am also honored to be a speaker at the 4th National Congress of Strength in Italy. And that event will be in October. And I will put a link for all the details about that in the show notes for this episode as well. So this is still a ways off, of course. It's in late October, but this is an event I'm really, really excited about as well. And I'm very honored to be a speaker at the 4th National Congress of Strength. So you can check that out. Again, go to the show notes for this episode, and I'll have a link for more information about that event. And I'll certainly be talking about this again down the line. All right, so those are the things I wanted to mention to you, and now we're going to get into the questions. And these questions come from Matt McPhee, and he sent me these questions a long time ago, and I thought that I would share these great questions with you right now. And I think no matter where you are in your training, I think that you will get value from these great questions. So let's get right into it. So the first question that Matt asked is, what percentage of time and intensity level do you recommend for someone pursuing a skill-based sport? How much time should he spend on strength is what he's asking. And the sport that Matt does is he's a climber, a rock climber, and he's wondering how much focus or emphasis he should spend on strength. Now, the answer is, for any sport, in my opinion, is to spend the time that will add to and not subtract from your sport or desired goal. So does that make sense? I hope that it does. The big thing is that you want to incorporate strength training in whatever you're doing because it will help whatever you're doing. But you want to find the right amount. So maybe it's the minimal effective dose, the MED that produces the greatest effect. So for example, that's why I always talk about just really sticking to the basics, sticking to the fundamentals. That's why kettlebell swings, deadlifts, squats, Turkish get-ups, presses, things like that. Again, the basics, the fundamentals, they will always be beneficial. Now, what percentage you actually do, again, it depends on how much you're doing your sport at the time. So if you just think about big picture here, in season versus off season. So if you're in season and you're doing a lot of your sport, whatever that is, whatever your recreational activity is or your sport is, then the strength training will be reduced. So you might want to spend maybe 25% of the time on strength training. Now, if it's off season, then maybe you do want to increase your strength training and increase your general strength level. So 50% or 75% of the time you're spending more on strength training as opposed to the sport. So it really depends on where you are in the cycle of your training. But no matter what, the fundamentals, the swings, the deadlifts, the squats, the presses, they're always going to be important. So you just want to do the amount that will add to what you're doing and not subtract from that. So I hope that that makes sense. All right, question number two. So he asks, in regards to kettlebell domination or any kettlebell program for that matter, how does one approach progression in a kettlebell size? Should a person keep the weight constant from start to finish in a 5-week cycle and then add weight when beginning the next strength cycle or progress within that cycle if that feels appropriate? So I think the answer is progress if it feels appropriate. Sometimes as you build strength and conditioning, you can progress to another bell size within a program. But remember the principle of progressive overload. So can you progress with intensity, volume, decreased rest intervals, exercise selection? Can you do all that and also increase the bell size? So in a program like kettlebell domination, for example, you're increasing the volume of what you're doing through the 5 weeks. So you may not be able to progress with a kettlebell, with the load of a kettlebell. That might be too hard of a demand. So you have to keep that in mind. I think for most people doing a program like kettlebell domination or a structured program, if the volume and other parameters of that program are increasing, that is applying the principle of progressive overload. So now if you apply that, if you maximize that, I should say, and now apply an increased bell on top of that, it might be too much. So the mistake is trying to progress too much with too many variables before you're ready. So you have to really own your skills with the program. That's the key. And then if you feel like things are getting too easy and your technique is really solid, then that is a time to progress with a heavier kettlebell. So hopefully that makes sense. And hopefully that is the simple answer to that question. Question number three, in general, how do you approach progression in weighted carries like a suitcase carry? For example, my biggest kettlebell is a 70-pound kettlebell. I can carry the bell for say 20 seconds out and then 20 seconds back. Should I carry for longer and longer times around the block? How do I recognize when it's time to go purchase something like a 48 kilo kettlebell and move back to shorter time under more load? So here's how I like to approach it. And again, I like to keep this really, really simple. I like to progress with load as opposed to distance. So my basic carry distance is approximately 100 yards. I'll carry a heavy load 100 yards, sit the bells down or sit the weights down, and then walk back. So my personal preference is to increase the load for that distance. If it's getting too easy, then it's time to increase your load. So increase the load size. You may also want to increase the number of rounds that you do as opposed to longer and longer distance with loads. And make the weight heavy enough so that you're challenged with a 100-yard carry. That's really the big thing, is you want to make sure that no matter what distance you're walking, whether it's 50 yards, 100 yards, make sure that you are challenged enough. When you're not challenged, it's time to increase the load or increase the volume of carry. So as opposed to doing a longer and longer walk, let's say if you walk 50 yards one way, 50 yards back, then do another round like that. And then maybe do, you know, maybe three rounds or something like that. I don't do a lot of rounds of carries. I'll do a round or two of a very heavy carry and call it a day. And I use carries pretty much as a finisher. It's not anything that I usually start a program with. It's something that I usually finish a program with. So keep that in mind as well. But I really think that the ideal way to progress with carries is by increasing the load of the kettlebell carry. So hope that that answers that question. Question number four, and I'm rewording this question slightly, but the bottom line is how to approach a generalized strength program when increasing intensity with the sport? And this goes back to question number one that I talked about. So stick to the basics and don't do too much that would detract from the sport. Examples of when you're doing a generalized strength program while focusing more on the sport, you would do something like a very simple program, like a simple and sinister kettlebell program, and where a couple of times a week you're doing swings and get-ups, and that's it. Again, you want to do the fundamentals and not take away from what it is you're trying to do. You don't want to take away from the goal that you're trying to do. You may even want to consider something like a very simple, low volume, 5-3-1 strength-based program, a very general strength program, very effective program, but it's not excessive in terms of the volume. And another consideration is maybe do a randomized short-term training block built on the basic movements, say push, pull, squat, carry, hinge, and maybe a get-up. So maybe something there. What I mean by randomized short-term training block is something where you're focusing on the basic movements, but you're not doing a specific program. So you're doing something that is built. You have basic guidelines, general rules. It's not totally random, but you're following some sort of loosely based structure for a specific period of time. And I call this a framework of a program. So you're not just totally winging it here. You're following a framework of what you're doing for 4 weeks, for 6 weeks, for 8 weeks, whatever it is, where you're focusing on the basic movement. So the bottom line, no matter what you do, is if you're doing a generalized strength program and you're focusing on the sport and increasing the intensity within that sport, is to keep it simple. Do a general strength program and keep it simple. Focus on fundamental movements and apply general rules or principles to that program. I hope that that helps, and I hope that answers that question. And the fifth and final question that Matt asks is, in general, I think that most supplements are at best short-term solutions or placebos and not sustainable for a good diet. The only supplements I take are fish oil, vitamin D, and whey protein. However, I've been hearing more from people about the benefits of branched-chain amino acids. What are your opinion on them to manage recovery? Okay, so I do like branched-chain amino acids a lot to optimize training. Branched-chain amino acids have a major impact in protein synthesis. As a matter of fact, leucine in particular is the key driver in protein synthesis or protein metabolism. In a recent podcast episode with Dr. Stacy Sims, she actually discussed the role of BCAAs, specifically the importance of leucine, which is a critical in protein metabolism. So branched chain amino acids are something that I frequently do use in my training, in addition to the other supplements I mentioned, being fish oil, vitamin D, and a grass-fed whey protein. In general, I am a big advocate of the proven supplements to support a high level of training to improve health, fitness, and performance. I think the big thing with supplements is you have to look at the data and find out which supplements will support your goals and contribute to your training and performance and recovery. And I think that supplements do definitely play a important role in training at a high level, and certainly the type of training that we talk about here on the podcast, which is heavier, aggressive strength training. And supplements are important for health, fitness, and performance, in my opinion. So I hope that this was helpful, and I really like to answer your questions. So, all right. So as we wrap up episode number 182, I do have a big announcement. Now, there is a lot going on right now, personally and professionally in my life, and I'm actually moving into a new house in just a couple of weeks, and as you can imagine, that's a very stressful and a lot of things going on with the move. We're staying in the same area here in Florida, but we've been in this house for a long time, and it's a lot of work and certainly stress, and I'm trying to minimize my stress as much as possible. And in addition to that, I'm also working on some major, major projects right now that require my full attention and commitment. So with that said, we are taking a short sabbatical or short period of time off from the podcast to work on projects and to keep my stress in check. So we're going to be taking off the month of August, and then we will be back in the fall to resume the Ardella Training Podcast. And we will definitely be back. I can tell you that right now. As a matter of fact, I have several interviews that I've already done that are going to have to wait until the fall to be released, unfortunately. But the podcast is so much work, and I just can't do everything. And I'm really trying to focus in on some great projects and things like that. So sometimes you have to take a small step back to go forward, and we are going to go forward in a big way when the show comes back. And there are so many great back episodes with nearly 200 episodes. There is so much great content in the archives with great interviews such as the Dan John sessions, Kelly Starrett, Gray Cook, and so many others to name. It's too hard for me to say which shows were my favorites, which shows should you go back and listen to, because there's so many. There's so many great guests, and I really enjoy each and every guest that I've had on the show and have had the privilege and honor to sit down and chat with. So we're going to take a short break, but we will be back and better than ever in September to finish the year strong. Very strong. So, and feel free to shoot me an email and let me know who you'd like to hear from or what you'd like to see more of here on the Ardella Training Podcast. Guys, I really appreciate you listening. I really, really do. And we're going to take a short break, and we will see you again very soon for episode number 183. All the best. Enjoy your summer. And thank you for being a part of the Ardella Revolution. Until next time, train strong, my friend, and we'll talk again soon. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast this week. And if you'd like to become part of the Ardella Training community, be sure to go to ardellatraining.com/join to get your free training mistakes guide, which contains 12 critical training mistakes I made through the years. I know this 36-page guide will save you time and frustration and accelerate your training results. And it's free. You'll get that and so much more at ardellatraining.com/join. Hope to see you there.